Hey everybody, what's going on? This is Dennis from the Long Island Gaming League, and you are tuned into our IG Black History Month event, where we're going to have different guests throughout the esports ecosystem, all talking about different things, their perspectives, and we're all doing this for Black History Month. If you don't know it, you know it now. Esports, and in terms of Black History Month, this is history in the making, and we hope that we continue to see a lot of progress with the minorities in terms of esports. And just remember where you hear it first. Remember the names, remember the people. And one of the special guests that we have on today, I'm just going to briefly introduce him, and then he's going to tell a little bit more about himself. And we're going to have a great conversation. We hope you learn from it. We hope you're inspired. And we hope you follow everybody. And we all decide to work together in some way, shape, or form to grow this esports industry. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce everyone to Mr. Michael Lewis, and I will hand it over to you, Mike.
Yeah, Dennis, I appreciate you. And anyone listening to this, it's good to meet you. My name is Michael Lewis, obviously. I've been really passionate about not just esports, but gaming as well. But I do spend most of my time in the esports realm. Just a quick little dive about me, and I'm sure we're gonna go into the details of my background and such. But essentially, I'm pretty much involved a lot in the collegiate space as well as the K-12 space within Scholastic Esports. Currently, I'm partnership manager for NECC. I work for an organization called Esportin. What we do is we essentially take students from around the world and help them pipeline into collegiate programs here in the United States by doing essentially the placement services. Right. So I got my hands on a lot of what in considering the collegiate space, but one really passion to me is really anything around education. So that's a little bit about me.
So, how did you actually kind of get involved into all this, the whole gaming world? Like, what inspired you to pursue in the industry?
No, that's a good question, and it really is everything about what I do. And I like to say this whenever I'm, introducing myself to people. My introduction into gaming and esports as a career didn't really have anything to do with interest in gaming. What I mean by that is, obviously, I played games, right? I've been a gamer all my life, all the way from 007 on N64, all the way up to Overwatch now. What I mean by that is just pursuing it as a career, right? Not every gamer thinks, "Hey, I'm gonna go pursue a job." I've grown up in Missouri all my life, and one just never thought that, oh man, someone's gonna hire me to work for a gaming organization. Never really thought about it. What essentially happened is I've always been really interested in tech since I was a child. I wanted to be the type of person who could take a computer apart, build it back together. I thought that stuff was really fascinating. The best way for someone on the outside to really understand kind of what happened when you don't have, I grew up in a very poor area in the Kansas City area around Missouri. When you don't have anyone in your circle doing anything in technology, right? How do you know to do it? So it just wasn't an option to me, right? To consider. I grew up, I went to school for marketing and public relations, what I thought I was going to be good at, and I loved it. I wouldn't change it to this day, but when I say I made a mistake, it wasn't that I regretted what I was doing. It's that I understand, as everyone kind of watching this, because I'm sure you have the interest, understands now, the future is technology, right? No matter what kind of job you're doing, you're going to be working with technology. And I realize, right, there's a whole group of people who avoid these careers. A lot of the time, these people are of color. There are other minority groups like women. They avoid these careers for a lot of reasons, right? We don't think we're smart enough to do it. We don't think we have access to the information. And what I wanted to do was help solve that issue. At the time, I didn't know about gaming and esports, right? I thought I was going to find some education or curriculum. And I think around, I'd say this is really around like 2000 and 16, 17, the whole gamification and gamify thing really was hitting the top of what people were talking about. That's really when I started to find out about it. Once I found it out, there was organizations, right, doing real things around this. That's when I decided, hey, I want to get involved in this, right? So for me, using, gaming and esports as a career vehicle, has always been very important to me.
Nice. And I definitely respect that, because a lot of the things you hit on is not common knowledge to a lot of minorities who are avid, video games and video game players. Are you able to kind of give those who are listening a little bit more about the role you kind of play, maybe on a day-to-day aspect in terms of the industry as a whole?
No, yeah. So, I'm pretty much putting myself on a consultant level, right? So I can jump here and around, but I'd say just touching on two things that I think focus on what I believe in, right? The whole aspect of scholastic and education. So working with NECC as partnership manager. Just a little bit about NECC. They're a collegiate hosting organization. They have about close to 500 schools. We bring those 500 schools together to compete. Obviously we're a competition hosting organization, right? Doesn't really get that much difficult, right? In terms of partnerships right around competition. But what a lot of people don't realize is for us as a competition platform, we understand that we can't just survive on that, right? The future of esports in terms of scholastic is education, it is careers, it is support, right? And we understand if we're gonna survive, right? If we're really gonna be who we want to be as a nonprofit, we need to be able to provide more than just a competition platform, right? We need to do something around education. We need to provide value. Essentially, like what do you get outside of just, yeah, weekly, we're gonna play Smash Bros, we're gonna play, Rocket League, right? What do you get outside of that when you join NECC, right? And that's kind of what I help with is adding net value and always trying to find ways to come in. And that's where my day is. I essentially in a lot of these partnership meetings. And what's really interesting is I run into two things a lot, right? Which is one, a lot of these organizations, especially the outside, right? They have no idea how to activate with a lot of these esports organizations or schools, right? And they come to us and they say, like, hey, I see what you guys are doing. We like it. We want to work with you guys. And a lot of time, right, they're kind of just looking at us, right? So that's something we've had to be very clear on with these organizations, how to activate. And that's usually what I do in my day-to-day. I'm having these conversations. I'm telling them what we can do, how we can bring our schools in to help their brand or whatever it is that they want to do, but at the same time trying to find value for NECC, if that makes sense. And I hope that
No,
gives you a good day-to-day.
definitely makes sense, and I definitely have to give my own personal experience with you. And when we connected, you gave the Long Island Gaming League such invaluable information and in kind of helping us along the way. So you're definitely somebody who, if you're looking to learn about esports, I definitely recommend that you touch base with Michael, because he has helped us even in the short, brief time of knowing. And with that being said, getting into the industry that is fairly new, would you say, or could you say, if there was any individuals or role models that you might have influenced your journey, whether they're in esports or not necessarily in the industry?
Yeah, and it's crazy, right? The first person, because you're talking about the industry, and I almost had to like almost diving in, because when someone says mentor, someone who guided me, crazy thing, it isn't someone who's very specific to esports, but the value that they gave me was more than, I'm just being honest, more than anyone in esports could give me, right? And I'll be honest, I think this is great information for young Black men, right? And I'll be straightforward here, my mentor. So before I even got into esports, man, I was just a young Black man, right? And I had the same ideas and the same way of talking, as a young Black man. My mentor was a guy named Adam Horn when I went to school for public relations, right? Very strict, very no nonsense, very you don't turn in, you get a zero, right? He really taught me this whole idea is like there's no excuses, right? If you really want to win, if you really want to be a professional, right, there is no excuses. You got to hold yourself up to here. And really in education, right, you get these teachers who are kind of just like, hey, I don't care what you do. And really, for the first time, I had someone, and I just mean to be frank, put a light underneath my ass, right? I had someone actually push me and hold me up to expectations like here for about 4 years, right? So I had to meet this all the time, right? And that trained me and put me in a mindset, right? And one thing, it's crazy because they gave me the foundation, right? They taught me, this person taught me how to write, taught me how to show up on time, taught me how to be punctual, right? Taught me how to be a professional. And I was able to take that. Right. And I believe this all the time. I just connected an intern, right? And I was explaining to the person I connected. I said, hey, this person is not an esports expert, but one thing they do have is things that we can't teach. We can't teach someone to be punctual. I can't teach someone to show up on time and be good with emails, right? We can teach them to be the esports professional, right? And I think that foundation knowledge, right, before you even get to finding that esports professional who's going to teach you about the game, right, you need to find someone who's going to essentially make you a professional, right? And I think all of us need it, right? Not all of us, not just young Black men, but all of us need it, if that makes sense. And that was a very important person to what I do today.
No, and I appreciate you sharing that, because, in terms of esports, the industry or gaming overall, it has a certain way people view it. But what you just mentioned, as far as just the core of being a better person and somebody to help you along the way, I think is significant, and I appreciate you kind of sharing your experience. And as we are talking about Black History Month and really diving into it, being African Americans in this industry, How do you see the significance of the representation of Black individuals in the gaming and esport industry?
I have to be honest in this question, right? And I guess just being front before I go into the explanation, I don't think it's there yet. I think what's kind of happened, right, is I'll tell you my first belief, right? When you look at these gaming and esports organizations who are calling themselves diverse and equitable, you're not a diverse organization until you have people of color within your hierarchy, right? Within your management, right? What happens all the time, I see it is they'll get someone of color and they'll kind of put them in a position, right? But you don't ever see people of color within management positions within the gaming and esports industry. One personal, take I can give, and this is something I commonly deal with, and why I work so hard, right? I know that I have to work a little bit harder in the agency space, right? When you're, these agencies, these marketing and public relations agencies are starting to get into gaming and esports, and I've applied at a couple of them, and just being a personal note, just being honest with what happened in these experiences, it would always turn into a personality fit, right? So it was like, hey, you're pretty much one of the most qualified people, right, in terms of gaming and esports, but we don't see a chemistry, right? And I think what these organizations don't realize when they're trying to find someone who has that close chemistry with them, what they're saying is, we want to work with someone we can hang out with. And what they don't understand is what that does is it cuts off people who didn't grow up like you, right? Who didn't have the same mannerisms, right? And that's what's happening in the marketing world, because if you look at these agencies, they hang out together, right? They go out, they'll get drinks together, right? And they want someone who can work with them that can do that. So when they see a young Black man, right, they go, oh, this person may not flow with me in the office, right? Even though I would, right? And there comes that assumption, right? So I've had roles pass up, and these organizations straight up tell me, hey, you were the best qualified person. We just didn't have it. We just didn't see a chemistry fit. And that's something I've dealt with before.
I mean, because you kind of, that was kind of gonna be the next question I was going to ask you. Like, what are some of the challenges you faced? And you definitely articulated that. With that being said, how do you think you were able to overcome it? You overcame it. And what might be some advice you may give other individuals who might face similar things?
No, that's a great question. So I overcame it, man. This is me, Frank. I learned a long time ago, if I was going to do this, I had to work harder than everyone else around me. Like, there was really no excuse, right? If I'm in a sales room and I got five sales guys and they're putting in 8 hours, I'm going to put in 14. That is the way my brain works, right? And to the young Black men listening to this, right? And we see all these things about, oh, it's equal and fair now. Work your ass off, right? That is my advice, right? Work your ass off, know your limits, and really straightforward advice, right? When it comes to getting into this industry, do not put your eggs in one basket, especially as a diverse person, right? I have this belief, if you get into gaming and esports, you got about a 70% chance of getting laid off, right? We've all seen kind of the layoffs and the winter, it's going to happen eventually, right? What I've been great about, and I see it happen all the time, right, is I put myself in different baskets. So I've been in situations where I've had people in the industry for 15 years conversate with me and ask me about roles. They've been in industry way longer than I have. And it's not that I'm smarter than this person. I'm not better than this person. It just, we did two things very different. They went and got a job with Activision, right? And then they put all their eggs in the basket, all their time. They weren't willing to network with people, talk to people, right? Unless it was in this Activision circle. So when Activision let them go, they were no longer in the Activision bubble. I connect with people, and I'm always putting myself in different baskets where when something happens, it's an easier shift to move on, right? So my biggest advice to people, right, is don't, right, especially right now, right, don't, right, try to find your way to do a little bit here and do a little bit there.
Facts. Nah, I respect that, and it's so true. It's almost essentially like, don't give up, work hard. I definitely can relate to that. And being that you've been in the industry, what could you say, or if you had to think about maybe some of the contributions that you've done, specifically, and also what are you probably most proud of that you've done in the industry or proud of in your career?
No, that's a great question. And it comes back just to education piece, right? Like, why I started this was because I believe that esports and gaming, once you have a young person, right, and even someone older, right, once they get that pathway through esports and gaming, it is so much easier to make them realize they can do a career in technology, right? And what I've been happy, so my first year, I was able to work with an organization within the K-12 space, right? I helped build programming there. What I'm doing for NACC now, right, one of my goals, right, is helping bring things around careers and education. I currently place a lot of interns just through my own networking, right, through a project that I'm working on my own. And through a sport in, right, we're bringing students from overseas, right, finding scholarships for them and then placing them into esports organizations here in America, helping these students and inherently making more esports programs more diverse. So what I like to say is that almost everything that I'm doing, right, is involved around what I got into the industry first. So, right. So that is the I do. I think I'm one of the drivers who's growing the scholastic side, the career scholastic side of esports. Right. And at the same time, what I'm most proud of is the fact that I get to do that. Right. The fact that I came over to go and say, hey, I want to do this. I want to be responsible, not just for being a gaming and esports, but making sure people are using it as a career vehicle. And I get to do that.
Man, that's amazing. Now, I know we mentioned kind of what inspired you, who influenced you in your journey, but now that you're kind of deep into it, so to speak, with the whole esports industry, is there anybody or anything that continues to inspire you as you're continuing the industry? Is it the same person, or how does that work for you? Like, what keeps you going? What keeps you motivated?
Man, that's a good question. And sitting there thinking about it and things that I see that inspire me, I think it really is certain certain individuals, right? One thing I've noticed is that the space is so new, everyone kind of gets a decision in their own area to run it how they want to, right? You have some colleges, right, where they're putting in a lot of work, right? The directors is, Oklahoma Christian, right? The director there, he's amazing, right? Like you see the care and dedication, the fact that he's willing to like you have one of the top schools in the nation, you'll sit, you'll take 30 minutes and talk to anyone, right? Those are people that I'm always impressed by, if that makes sense. And even certain individuals like D. If you kind of been around esports, everyone kind of knows D. He is probably one of the people in this industry that surprises me. Like one of the people who matches my work ethic. So I just noticed a certain individuals. Now what organizations are doing? It'd be hard for me to find one particular organization that's within that scholastic ecosystem that's really just kind of stood out. I'd obviously say NACEF has really carried the flag. Like that was the first organization I've heard of. I think NACEF is a good entry point for a lot of scholastic figures who have never been introduced to esports and gaming to get introduced to it. And they have essentially been a great pipeline for the entire industry, right? I think the entire industry has really benefited just from their existence, right? And I do love what they do.
Okay. And I guess in terms of motivating, we all understand that the industry, it comes, it goes, even with, recent layoffs and stuff like that. How do you kind of stay motivated with all the things kind of that we kind of went over as far as being Blacks or African Americans or just minorities within this industry that we could possibly face? How do you personally stay motivated and continue to do what you do?
No, and then that's a great question, and this is one of the greatest advice I can give to people. Build real relationships with people, right? If you are working somewhere, you're working with somebody and you don't consider them your friend, count your days, right? And the days may be thousands of days, hundreds of days, right? But you're count your days. So that makes sense. Build real relationships with people. I'm not going to say I feel 100% safe, right? Anything can happen, right? I will say that I feel comfortable, right, in the space, right? And it's because I have the people that I work with. I consider them my friends, right? Jacob, the commissioner at NECC, he's a friend of mine. So if you ask me for a personal favor, if we lived next door and you asked, hey, can I borrow something, I'd do that for him, right? I built real relationships with people. So they're really, to me, right, the odds of getting blindsided, right, are just like that's likely to happen, right? When people are having to be let go, they remember you. Does that make sense? There's never 100% a way to cover yourself, right? But knowing that I have solid close relationships with several organizations, right? One building falls here, right? I go to another building, right? And that's my main thing. If you're gonna go to an organization, right, and you're gonna put all your time, and I think that's what, even if someone hears that's just naturally what people do, right? You're gonna go get a job at Xbox, and your life is gonna become Xbox, right? If you're gonna do that, you better make sure everybody knows your name, everybody loves you. You're giving milk and cookies there, right? Because that's the things they're gonna think of when the time comes, right? And that's one thing I try to do when I do my meetings with people, just in my intro and talking to them. I say, hey, I want to build a real relationship. Let's not make this our only conversation.
Got you. Now, we all know that the benefits are great, and once we're doing what we love, being in the industry, being a minority within the industry, there are mistakes that we tend to make. So, is there any lessons or specific tips that you've learned that you kind of want to share with people starting out on this journey that they might be able to avoid?
Know your value, right? So Something I deal with all the time, and everybody's going to deal with it, especially when you're young. People are going to take as much as they can from you, right? You give someone the ability to keep taking from, they'll do it. They'll keep doing, they'll keep pulling, they'll keep pulling, they'll keep pulling, right? Because you let them do it, right? They're not, and they got a million things going. They're not thinking they're just going to keep coming to you and pulling and pulling. Does that make sense? People realize the best way in this industry to get yourself known is to offer something of value, right? You want to offer someone, you want to help people, right? Any young professor is going to realize this. Once you start doing that, people are going to start pulling, and some people are going to pull a lot harder. Does that make sense? And it's going to be up to you as a professional, right? I had to learn this myself, right? I meet this all. Once you kind of get into the know of the organization, there's a network of kind of young entrepreneurs, and you can ask them. They've all went through the same thing where they've tried to grow, they try to grow, they try to network. So they were just doing all this crap for free for people, and they'll tell you almost 70, 80% of it turned out to nothing, right? The person, as soon as they said, "Hey, can I get $20 for my service," the person never contacted them again, right? And people get afraid of that, but that's what you need, right? As you grow as an individual, right? I'm at the point now where if someone says that, that's fine, right? That's fine. I'm going to move on. But if you don't start, right? If you don't start pushing and asking, you'll never get, right? And that's so hard for people, because even for me as a confident person, I go into meetings very confident. It could be hard to go to someone and you said, "Hey, I'm going to help you," but it's like, "Hey, we're gotten to a point, right? Can I get something in return?" Right? I've had to do that in plenty of situations, right? And some bridges will get burned, but I think that's the thing. Most people and organizations, young people, they get taken advantage of in terms of their workload, right? You go into an organization, they say, "Hey, you're going to do marketing," and now you're doing marketing and this and that, and they're scared to say something. I am literally known at organizations that I work for asking questions. If I don't understand something, if I'm uncomfortable with something, right? Because what's the point of them hiring you if you don't understand, right? So, not being afraid to speak up for yourself.
Right. That's, I mean, you definitely are dropping so many gems and grateful insight from being somebody in the industry. And esports and gaming, it all is around community, so to speak. So I guess my question I have for you is, how important is it for the Black community to stick together and support one another in the gaming and esports world?
100%, right? And I'll be honest, I don't think it's really there, right? And this could, right, rub off some people in the wrong way, but I'm always going to be honest in what I say. There seems to be in the esports industry some gatekeeping between individuals who have kind of made it, right? Black individuals have kind of made it, and they kind of want to be the go-to, right? They want to be the person, "Hey, I'm the Black guy. I'm just being front with you, right? I'm the Black guy that the white people come to when they need a Black person for esports," right? And I'm not going to say any names, right? But they've essentially kind of hodled all the, right? And hadn't really put a spotlight onto anyone else, right? So I do think it's important, right? I don't think we're connecting enough, right? Not even close, right? At the same time, something that I think we as a community should separate ourselves from and get together with other groups for is this whole idea, and this is something I'm very glad you asked this question, because I think more people need to talk about this, is this idea of Black esports. In my opinion, Black esports does not exist. If we do this, this will be the most dangerous thing we could do for our young brothers, right? Black students should be competing with the white students. There should be this doesn't happen in tra this doesn't happen in traditional ba baseball. This happened in tra yeah, you have HBCUs, but that's not the point of the sport aspect is not the point of an HBCU. It's the education aspect. They so happen to have a sports team, right? The whole point of esports is sports, right? And if we, and I'm just gonna be 100% real, if we as a Black community start creating these HBCU leagues, one, we're gonna miss out on the big money, right? We're gonna miss out on the big money, but two, we're gonna miss out on the way that competition is really supposed to be, right? Because and I believe, right, and we do great when we come into a sport, right? So why would we segregate this part of a sport, right? So this is something I've seen dangerous happen, which is these HBCU leagues and these people coming together to do Black esports. If I could, I would disband all those, right? I'm just being frank with you.
No, I appreciate the candidness and just being honest, because it's the conversation, we're having, and in terms of Black History Month, we need to be honest, we need to talk from our perspective, and we need to lay the platform, at least in my opinion, for those who are going to come up into this industry after us and understand the bigger picture. And I think you did an amazing job of articulating that minute but so impactful ideology that we have as Blacks, or some people have as Black individuals within the esports. So I really appreciate you kind of sharing that. And as we continue to go through this, let's talk about the future outlook. So what changes or improvements would you like to see, for Black professionals in the gaming and esports industry in the future? You kind of hinted on that, but I'm not sure if you kind of want to add to it in a more specific way in terms of the future and what can be done.
No, yeah, I think that's that pretty much like kind of the idea of just giving more chances, right? One thing I noticed, right? I used to have this idea of when you don't see Black people in the industry. So I was like, maybe Black people just aren't applying as much, right? But when I started, our projects, right, started putting out applications for other organizations, right, started using LinkedIn, I basically saw the background of when these esports organizations put out application and who's applying for them, right? And I quickly learned Black people are applying, and a lot of Black people are applying for these positions. That makes sense. And I learned this in three different circumstances with three different esports kind of projects and organizations, right? So they are there, right? And I just my opinion, right? I can only speak for my opinion. I'm not speaking for the entire ecosystem. I'm not speaking for Black people. In my opinion, right, what is happening is that there's two aspects, and I understand this right from a job, right? They want someone who has a skill set, and they want somebody who can be a team and fit in. Right. And there could, whether it's happening subconsciously, right? It could be happening subconsciously. They could be doing it, not realizing that what's happening is prejudice. Does that make sense? But if something is happening in the industry, right? Well, we're not, the industry is not giving Black individuals a chance to lead for whatever reason, because we didn't, maybe it's not trust or it's not there yet. Right. And I think when we can do that, the trickle down effect, that's why I'm so focused on that, right? Once you put Black people in management positions, right? Once you put someone like me in a position to, manage the partnerships for NECC, which is why I have so much respect for Jacob and for NECC, right? Then people like me can trickle down that support, you know?
Oh man, listen, you definitely laid out a good future blueprint on how we could, as Blacks, grow in the industry, how we can work together, and how that could transition the future or the vision of what esports could potentially be. And I do appreciate your time. So with the last ending question or even statement, is there anything in particular that you may feel you'd like to speak about before we kind of close it out, whether it's personal or whether it's a favorite video game? But how would you like to close out the this particular episode about Black History Month and Blacks in esports?
I said I'll throw out a just a quick final advice, but you throw out a comment about game. I'll just go ahead and just throw a little shout out. I'll just say, hey, fighting games. I'll say this something I wish there'd be more conversation about when it comes to classic esports. Fighting games, in my opinion, built esports. If that is right, when you think of esports, when I think of traditional esports, I think of fighting games. I think of Tekken, Soul Calibur, Smash Bros. Right. One thing that really hurts me, right, is now that you see the future of esports, it seems like the fighting aspect has been left behind, especially in Scholastic, obviously because of the whole rated thing, right? And I wish we could get past that in some ways, right? Or I wish the perfect esport fighting game would come out for the Scholastic community. That's something I just want to share. Maybe with someone out there, right? Just put it out there in the ether, right? Because I'm a huge fighting game fan, Smash Bros. I grew up on Smash Bros. Man, since Nintendo. So that's what I want to leave you with.
All right, man. Well, listen, I appreciate you, Michael, for taking the time just to get on and speak to those who are listening. And for those who are listening, make sure to follow Michael. He's full of information, full of opportunities to help you all. Again, overall, we're helping each other by starting now. Starting this collaborative effort. Michael and myself getting on this phone came from a collaboration. It came from a simple conversation, and I think that could be done by anybody who's hearing this. Don't be afraid to reach out. Again, Michael, I appreciate your time. I appreciate everything, and I look forward to the opportunity to work with you again in the future. And I wish you the best of luck and success as you continue on your esports path.
Thank you, brother, and thank you everyone for listening.
All right, thank you. We're out, and tune in again next week for our next guest.